lot of guys pretty much dominantly from the village teams that like to come up here and play.
Local basketball teams make up half of the competition at this weekend's Dick Hodge Memorial Tournament in Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. Despite deep cuts in the harvest quota this year, stakeholders in the commercial halibut fishery remain optimistic about the future of their industry. Fish prices are strong, the price of quota share is stable, and new fishermen are coming into the fishery. But Linda Benkin and Dan Falvey stress the importance of understanding the biological and political pressures that affect the management of this international resource. In part two of our two-part interview with the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, Director Benkin and Member Falvey warn that the big cuts in halibut fishing may not be at an end. How halibut are split among various areas of the Gulf and a reduction in the harvest rate are both factors that could lower quotas next year, even if halibut stocks increase. They spoke with KCAW's Robert Woolsey.
We've now gone down 78% in 6 years here. So for people who bought quota share towards the beginning of that, those years of reductions and paid $25 a pound for quota, you now have, you know, about 20% of that left to go catch. And that's, you can't make that up with price.
Is there a reflection in the market price of quota share? Are people trying to dump it right now at all?
No, strangely not. From what I've seen on the market, there's still a very strong demand for quota share in 2C, 3A, all the areas. There are people with a little bit recognizing if they don't buy more, they're not going to make a season of it this year. I think there's other people who look at it that, well, it's the right time to buy. Quotas are low. They're going to go up from here. We hope they're right. So there hasn't been much of a drop, at least not yet.
I think looking ahead that this was a steep drop this year, and it's been some pretty volatile halibut quotas the last 4 or 5 years. I think there may be one more round of volatility coming through next year. I know that they're going to continue to look at apportionment. I know that Canadian commissioners have not agreed to the current way of apportioning the stock, and I think there's concern among some stakeholders in the U.S. about the current apportionment method, so that'll continue to be discussed. And then next year, the staff is supposed to take another hard look at the harvest rate, which is tells you how much halibut of the stock you're allowed to take out every year and be sustainable. And given the lower growth factors and some of the concern over estimating recruitment we've seen this year, there's a chance that that harvest rate could go down. And if that goes down, the quotas will take another decrease next year across the board.
What about the performance review that the Halibut Commission is undertaking this year? What can fishermen expect to learn from it?
The commissioners have heard quite a bit of concern from stakeholders over the last few years that the changes in harvest policy have been coming at them a little too fast to understand, to be able to comment on, to feel like we can effectively participate in the process. And while we all recognize that management is science-based, fishermen are on the water a lot. There's a lot that they observe, and there's a lot they can contribute to the process. And the commissioners understand that. So they've launched this performance review. They're going to set up a process for stakeholders to provide comment and use that time to reflect on their own policies and how they might improve the process of managing the halibut stocks.
It seems like that's the number one kind of grumble. The coffee shop is first we have to buy in to a system, and then the rug is kind of pulled out from underneath us in order to make ends meet under the very system that we've bought into and fought for.
Yeah, well, I think everybody understands that quotas will go up and down when they buy in. People want to make sure that if they're asked to conserve, all sectors are conserving so that we're not undermining that rebuilding potential of the stock. And people also want to understand the management policy that's used and how it's applied, and that there needs to be some stability in that, maybe then proposed changes, opportunity for review, consideration, ground truthing before more changes are made. And that's what we're hoping this commission review might show.
People are having to buy into this fishery, and it costs a lot. And it's a good question to say is, do we need the volatility we've seen the last few years in order to protect the resource, given the investments we have to make? Or can we protect the long-term health of the resource and have a more stable environment, more predictable environment, where the harvest policy doesn't change so much from year to year? And hopefully that'll be the discussion we have in this coming year under the performance review.
Dan Falvey is a member of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. Linda Benkin is its director. The commercial halibut season opens in the Gulf of Alaska on March 12th. A borough employee was honored for receiving the highest professional recognition in her field this week after 8 years working in Haines government. Mayor Jan Hill honored borough clerk Julie Causey at this week's Haines Assembly meeting.
I am very pleased to share some good news with everyone here. 8 years ago, Julie Causey came to work for the Haines Borough. I think it was 8 years ago. We did a little quick research this afternoon.
Yes.
She has worked very hard in those 8 years, particularly in her professional development. My understanding is that up until 3 minutes from now, she's been a certified municipal clerk, but I'm very pleased to announce that Julie is now Master Municipal Clerk. And I have this beautiful plaque to present her.
Clerks earn points for time on the job and attendance at professional development sessions. Master Municipal Clerk is the highest level municipal clerks can reach. Some hunters will find out on Friday if they'll be able to go out for a moose or not next season. Drawing Tier 1 and Tier 2 permit results will be released by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game on Friday, February 25th at 5 p.m. The draw results will be posted to their newly remodeled website at adfg.alaska.gov under Highlights. Tier 1 and Tier 2 subsistence permits are available to Alaska residents only. Most drawing hunts are available to both residents and non-residents. They require an application and are awarded by lottery. The results that will be released Friday are from the November through December 31st, 2010 draw application period. Winners will receive either their permit or a letter from the regional biologist. Some permits must be picked up in person. Basketball season begins to hit its peak this time of year, with Panthers and Glacier Bears entering regional season and an adult tournament taking over Haines this weekend. Dick Hotch Memorial Basketball Tournament is a Chilkat Valley tradition, more than 30 years old.
That's back in the day when all the old Clequan A and B team was still together. That was the year that Cliff Hotch took over as coach for the Clequan A and B team. We had Jeff Clonat and myself, and we had a couple of the Sealy boys playing. And well, that's when we were all in our prime, so those were the ones that we remember fondly.
That was back in the day when Larry Sweet spent a lot of time running up and down the court. Nowadays, he's doing just as much running as the organizer of the annual tournament in Haines.
Well, right now we have on tap three Juno teams. We have Tim Wilson is bringing his team up the Orange Crush. We have Lonnie Anderson bringing a new team. Ed Hotch is bringing his West Coast team. We have the traditional White Horse team coming down. They come down every year for us. Skagway's been coming over for the past 8 years now.
A new team to the tournament from Sitka backed out of the competition this year, but teams from Skagway, Whitehorse, Juneau, Haines, and Clequan will still be competing. That includes four local teams from the Northern Lynn Canal, one less than last year, which was called the biggest gathering of Dick Hotch players ever.
This is a good warm-up because this is one of the last tournaments before the gold medal. I know there's another one in Cake, but Cake is so hard to get to that we don't get a lot of turnout from the village teams that go there. So there's a lot of guys pretty much dominantly from the village teams that like to come up here and play. And then this is a little bit of a warm-up for gold medal.
Sweet says the tournament could be bigger if they expanded it to have an additional division. He explains that there are enough aging players who have been around as long as the tournament has to form a few more teams.
I've been asked a few years in a row now to start to create at least a C division team. We're getting a lot of the older players, like reliable transfers, said, well, they would come back to the tournament, but if we had a C division, because, they can't compete with the merchants because they're like me, they're getting old now.
Gym space is another concern and a reason behind capping the tournament at one division with eight teams this year.
Traditionally, I can only run the tournament from Thursday to Sunday. If I had the capability of running two gyms at the same time, which, that may be an option here in years, but it would just, I have enough trouble right now referees for the ones I got. If I had to run two games a day in two gyms, I would have a heck of a day. I would go nuts trying to get all the referees and things. But last year, we ended up using both gyms because we had 10 teams last year, and there was just so much problems that I just kept it at eight this year. I got three more teams that are wanting to come, but I just, the players just didn't like playing in the little gym.
Last year, Haynes and Kluckwan teams took two of the top three spots in the 30th annual DeKotch Memorial Basketball Tournament when Orange Crush out of Juneau took the overall title.
Well, Haynes has always been in the running. I mean, in the past 5 years, I think that Haynes has gutted about at least three out of the five times. The Kluckwan ANS team has been coming in second and third for the past few years, so they're on the up and the upward. So they're getting a little practice in this during this one here because they've been invited back to the gold medal tournament. So we're pretty happy that Kluckwan has three teams in the gold medal tournament this year.
Volunteers are always needed to help run the DeKotch Memorial Tournament in Haynes. Organizer Larry Sweet is at 314-0780, or he says you can find him around town. The tournament is for basketball players over 18. That includes men and women, although it looks like no ladies are competing this year. Kluckwan and Skagway girls have played in the past. Last year, the most inspirational player trophy went to a Skagway woman. DeKotch basketball begins Thursday night through the championship game Sunday midday. All 34 games will take place in the Carl Ward Gymnasium in Haynes again this year. Spectators can watch each game individually or get a pass for all the games. In other basketball matchups, regional rival Yakutat is in Skagway playing the Panthers this weekend. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.